want a picture of the times today? I'll bet you do. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter gives us all the bad news. I don't know why. That poor guy. Second Peter chapter 2, yet there came to be false prophets also among the people. As among you also, there will be false teachers who will be smuggling in destructive sects. Not sex, S-E-X, sects. S-E-C-T-S, destructive sects. Boy, is that what we see? I suppose there's destructive sects as well. But is that what we see in the Middle East today? Many different sects, and they're all destructive. They're disowning the owner who buys them, bringing on them, I'm quoting again from Peter here, who buys them, bringing on themselves swift destruction. And God is preserving you from this. He is putting you in a metaphoric ark today, which pictures the literal ark of yesteryear. And many, quote, verse 2, chapter 2, 2 Peter, many will be following out their wantonness, because of whom the glory of the truth will be calumniated. And in greed, with suave words, they will traffic in you, whose judgment of old is not idling, and their destruction is not nodding. Verse 4. Destruction is coming. Don't get nervous by that word. It's the Greek word apolie, right? It means from whole loosing. Three-part word, from whole loosing. It's a loosening. Destruction is a dissolution. It's not an eternal thing, but destruction is coming. For if God spares not sinning messengers, but thrusting them into the gloomy caverns of Tartarus, gives them up to be kept for chastening, judging, and spares not the ancient world, but guards Noah, an eighth, a herald of righteousness, bringing a deluge on the world of the irreverent, and condemns the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to cinders by an overthrow, having placed them as an example for those about to be irreverent, and rescues the just man Lot, harried by the behavior of the dissolute in their wantonness. Wow, wow, wow. Are you harried today by the behavior and of the dissolute and the wanton? You're in good company. Lot was harried. Peter was harried. Paul was harried. Noah was certainly harried in his day. And God is going to stop all this, and He does not spare the ancient world. Now, that was a world then, an ancient world. I want you to keep that in mind. It's called the ancient world, the world before Noah went into that ark, before Nick went into the Thebe. Before old Nick went into the Thebe, it was called the ancient world. Okay, now I want to go to 2 Peter 3. In the last days, Peter said, 2 Peter 3:3, scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires and saying, where is the promise of His presence? People are doing that today. Where's God? Here's why they're doing it. For since the fathers, this is still the quote of the scoffers, for since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. Things have always been the way they are. We don't see God coming in with big judgments. People have been getting away with murder for years. Where's the promise of His presence? It's always been this way. Ah, verse 5. They want to be oblivious of this. There's a fact that they're not quite acquainted with, that there were heavens of old and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. Yet the heavens now and the earth by the same word are stored with fire, being kept for the day of the judging and destruction of irreverent men. Now, this is a then world. What's the then world being deluged by water? This is not the flood of Noah. This is another destruction that came upon the earth before the days of Noah. Let me read to you Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. Yet the earth became a chaos and vacant, and darkness was on the surface of the submerged chaos. Do you know what the King James reads there? Created by God were the heavens and the earth was a chaos and vacant. It sounds like God created it a chaos and vacant, but that's not the right word. Was It's the same word here to describe Adam. God created Adam from the soil, and he became a living soul. Same exact word here. The earth became a chaos and vacant. And so there was a primitive earth, a more pristine earth, and that was disrupted somehow. It became a chaos and vacant. And then in verse, at the end of verse 2, yet the spirit of the Elohim is vibrating over the surface of the water and saying, is the Elohim become light? Starting here, we start to see the recreation of that earth. Now, Isaiah 45:18 says this, he is Elohim, former of the earth and its maker, and he established it. He did not create it a chaos. So how can the King James Version be right? God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. Sounds like he created it that way, but he didn't. Isaiah 45:18 says he established it. He did not create it a chaos. It became a chaos and vacant. And that's what Peter is telling us about in 2 Peter 3, that the then world was somehow destroyed by water. It perished. This is not the flood of Noah. This was a more sweeping destruction even than the flood of Noah, believe it or not. What I'm telling you is that there's a reason Peter uses the term ancient world to describe Noah and his day, and the then world, which corresponds to a time before the days of Noah. There was a destruction of another earth before mankind even came to be on the earth, and we're reading about this in Genesis 1:1-3. The earth became a chaos and vacant. Now we see God saying becoming light, and it is becoming light. We think this is the absolute beginning of everything. It's not. Genesis is called in beginning. It's not in the beginning. In fact, the King James starts Genesis in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. That's not right at all. There's no definite article present in the Hebrew. It's not in the beginning. It's in a beginning. This was a beginning, not the absolute beginning of anything. But there was a pristine earth at one time that was ruined. It was ruined by what is known as the disruption of the world. And this is a necessary thing. God is always destroying things in order to set the stage for making them better and to showing his power. This first earth was a demonstration of God's power, but it could not demonstrate his love, his grace, his mercy, all these moral qualities. And so it was disrupted. It was turned into a total ball of water. It was called the then world. It was a total water ball at that time, and darkness covered the submerged chaos. And then God begins to make things happen. He brings an atmosphere, and he separates the waters. There's waters above the atmosphere and below. He injects an atmosphere inside the water, and we have water above the atmosphere back in the days of Noah and water below. And then he causes the land to rise up, and we see a recreation of that earth. That was called a world. And Noah's day was called the ancient world. Now, there's an important verse I want to give you in Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2, start with verse 1. And you, being dead to your offenses and sins, in which you once walked in accord with the eon of this world. The eon of this world. Stop right there. The eon of this world. An eon, as you know, if you've been listening to this show, is a period of time. It's the word ion in the Greek. World is cosmos in the Greek. A world is an orderly arrangement. It's the constitution of things, of human society. Every eon, every period of time has a corresponding world. There's a certain arrangement in every period of time. The eon describes the time, and the cosmos describes what's happening during that time. And we know that from this verse, the eon of this world, we know that every world, every constituted thing has a corresponding period of time. That's why we know that the then world, this pristine earth that God created that was disrupted in Genesis 2, if that was a world, then it must have had a corresponding eon. So that was an eon at that time. Then came the disruption, and then we have a recreated world, and that was called, Peter calls that the ancient world. That was the world that Adam walked on. And now we have Paul talking about the eon of this world. And so there was the then world that was destroyed by water, the ancient world also destroyed by water. There's the current world, and we know that there is the age to come, the eon to come, Jesus calls it, and that's the kingdom eon, and that we know there's going to be a new world, a new heavens and a new earth, and that's another eon. After that, we have a period of five eons that God has created in order to show His purpose. And the first three eons relative to this last two are evil eons. Each eon begins with a cataclysm of some kind. The first eon ended by the disruption of the world. You'll see that phrase in the Greek scriptures quite often. King James has made it the foundation of the world. Unfortunately, there's another word for foundation in the Greek. It's temelios. It means a place care. Those are the elements. And the word here for disruption is katabole, and it's downcasting. It's the total opposite of place care. And so the first eon was ended by a disruption of some kind that swamped the world in water. And God is recreating it in Genesis 1:3. It's a new world and it's a new eon. That eon ends with the flood of Noah. And Noah walked out of the Thebe onto a new world, a new arrangement of things, because now we're going to see the coming of nations. Where before we didn't have nations, it was a paternal type of rule. It was very lax. And men became evil and they polluted the earth. So now we're going to try human governments. Quote, try, unquote. God doesn't experiment. But God is going to make sure that mankind knows that any method they use is going to fail. And so Noah walked out, as I said, onto a new eon in which we have nations, we have governments, we have rule. Guess what? This is ending in failure also, as we see today. This current wicked eon is going to end also with a cataclysm called the Day of Indignation. And that is going to give way to the kingdom eon or the kingdom world. And if you read Isaiah, you see that Israel can only come through the matrix via severe birth pangs. And I want you to see that's nothing new in God's operation, because every new thing He does is preceded by a cataclysm. And the scoffers, Second Peter, that Peter talks about in Second Peter, were unaware of one of these cataclysms, namely the disruption. Apparently, they had no regard for Noah's day, that God also brought a judgment on the world at that time. But that eon, the kingdom eon, it's an improvement. It's a good eon compared to the three eons that went before. Yet it also ends in a major cataclysm. Peter says this current earth is stored with fire, and the elements will be combusted by fire and with fire. And God is going to bring a new heavens and a new earth. That would be world 5, eon 5. And that leads us to a time called the consummation. Death is segregated during eon 5, but it's not eliminated, because the second death is still in operation. But God is going to abolish death at the consummation. This was a rough sketch of the five eons, God's calendar. And if you're looking at it from an aerial view, I have a little thing I drew up there. If you're looking at the internet right now on your monitors, you'll see God's calendar, each eon separated by a cataclysm. The first one and the last one are more severe than the middle 2. The first cataclysm was gigantic. It's called the disruption. The last one is the total combustion of this earth and the elements by fire. That's going to bring a new earth. In the meantime, you have these sub-cataclysms. Not saying they're not bad, but they're not as totally cleansing as the other two. These would be the flood of Noah and the day of indignation that is coming. We're at the central crisis of the eons. We are right smack dab in the middle of it. This is the most wicked eon that has been. This is the eon that crucified the Son of God. If you're wondering why you're having a bad day, look at God's calendar. You're in the middle of it. But there's a verse in Hebrews that says, at the consummations of the eons, Christ was manifest. At the consummations of the eons. The eons began to wind down at the coming of Christ. Folks, this is hump day. How appropriate that this is Wednesday today, because eon 3 is hump day on God's calendar. That means things are winding down, which means things are winding up, because we're getting the bad eons out of the way and the good eons are on their way. I'm Martin Zender. I forget what I'm going to do tomorrow, but it's going to be great, you can bet.